feelings, bondage of pride. I thank you, Melanie, for that. And you know something? God can take care of all those things. God can take care of all those things. So it's kind of curious that tonight the title of my message is, Let Us Stay Slaves. I think that's a great opportunity, right? Let's just all stay in bondage, okay? How do you like to do that? We feel that we're in bondage today anyway, don't we? I'd like you to turn to Judges chapter 15. Turn to Judges chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 15, not all together, but in sections tonight. And I find it very interesting that in this passage, we have God's people wanting to stay in bondage to the Philistines. They liked where they were. They liked what they were getting. And they didn't want any change. And so in Judges chapter 15, verses 9 through 11, it says, Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? Like, Samson, can you get this? Do you understand the political situation we're in right now? Do you understand our relationship right now with our government? Do you really understand this, Samson? Why are you doing this thing? Why would you even contemplate going against the Philistines right now? Because everyone has to listen to them. They're the strongest dudes on the block. That the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Now you need some background here. First of all, we need some background on Samson. Samson, like all children, was a gift of God. And he was supposed to be a Nazarite from his mother's womb. When she found out, Samson's mom found out that she was pregnant, the Lord told her, You don't drink strong wine. You don't drink anything except what the Nazarites do. He's going to be a Nazarite from conception. And so we know about the story of Samson. We know all the stuff that he does at the end. And we know about Delilah. But there's an interesting thing going on right here. See, what had Samson done? Samson had burned their wheat crop. Now, he did it in a very innovative way. I can't catch my cats, much less one of them, okay? Any of them. They run too fast. But what Samson had done is he had gotten 300 foxes, and he tied their tails together, and he put firebrands or torches in their tails, and then he turned them loose. Now, if you have something burning on your tail, what are you going to do? You're going to run. And if you're tied to some other animal's got something burning on its tail, what's it going to do? It's going to run. And they ran everywhere. And he set them in the wheat of the Philistines and burned up their crop. Now, that's an interesting thing. Why did Samson do that? Well, because Samson had taken a wife of the Philistines. And he had gone to his father-in-law's house. You can find this in the first part of this chapter. And to make amends with his wife. But his father-in-law had given his wife to another man. Which is wrong. And so Samson kind of took things into his own hands. But God was with him. God was with him. We're going to see that here. You know, we all mess up. But God doesn't take the Holy Spirit away from us. We just need to repent. And so what we have here is we have the 3,000 people of Judah coming to Samson and saying, why'd you burn up the crop? That was really not a good thing to do. And Samson said, well, that what they did to me was not a good thing either. But it's really not important how we got to this point. The problem is what the people of Judah, God's chosen people, said to Samson. That's it. And there's an application to us today. We are God's saved. We are His elect. We are His saints. And we've been studying on Wednesday night about in the book of Galatians about how these people that had gotten saved, these Galatians gotten saved, are now being tested by the Judaizers to go back into the law and put themselves back in the bondage of the law, which no one could follow anyway. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, look, he says that you're supposed to stand fast in liberty of the call and be not in what? Entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You know, sometimes we all live in bondage. There are things in our life that bind us. And so Judah was bound. He said, hey, Samson, don't you know the Philistines are ruling over us? You know, that wasn't what God wanted in the first place. So I want us to look at some issues here in this story here and look at the application to us. The first one is, we, even Christians, even believers, we can create our own bondage. And it's pretty simple how to do it. I don't understand why the Philistines are even around. When God gave them the promised land, He said, do what? Go and destroy them all. This is your land. This is the promise. And in Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, now these are the nations which the Lord left. Actually, Israel didn't do what they were supposed to do. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines. One of those dudes was named Goliath. Out of the lords of Philistines comes Goliath. And there's the Ashdodites, and there's all these other things. Those are the five lords. And all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon until the entering in of Hamath. And verse 4 says this. It says, and they were in to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which He commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. If you go back and you look at what Moses told, what God told the nation of Israel through Moses is, you go in there and you take care of all of them. You get them out, because if you don't, they're going to be snares to you. But they went in there, and you know, we often do things halfway, don't we? We don't do things all the way. They didn't do that. And you could go and you could study the book of Joshua and you could see that all the places that they were supposed to inherit, they really didn't do what they were supposed to. And they left people behind. Folks, when Christ saves us, He forgives us of all of our sin. And we need to leave it all behind. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And see, we still have our sin nature inside of us. And the problem is, we can be in bondage to that nature. And oftentimes we are. And we're not, and no one in here is above that. We're all capable of following in to bondage. There's a simple rule here. What was verse 4 saying? And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would what? Hearken. Hearken means to hear God. Hearken means to understand what God says to you. And then hearken means to do what God tells you to do with no reservation. That's what God wanted with the Israelites. That's what He wants us as Christians to do. He said to prove them, to see whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which He commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So we can create our own bondage simply by not obeying God. How can someone bring fire into their bosom and not be burned? How can you, every man sins when he's drawn away of his what? Own lust and entice. You want to get out of bondage? Don't lust. You know, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Those commandments don't mean anything to me. God set me free of all that. No, He's given you the ability to do them through His Holy Spirit. So, you don't want to sin? My Bible tells me this. Make no provision to the flesh in Romans chapter 13. That you obey it in the lust thereof. You don't want to sin? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Go cold turkey. Depend on God. He's given you the faith to do it. With men, these things are what? Impossible. And that's getting rid of your own habits. But with God, all things are possible. See, God doesn't tempt us. Satan tempts us. But the devil doesn't make you do it. You choose to do it on your own. Every man sin when he's drawn away of his own lust and sight. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. See, I'm going to put it to you frankly. If you live loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving thy neighbor as thyself, which is a hard thing to do, you won't be in bondage to any man. We'll be the servants of Christ. We'll do that. If we understand that our sins put Christ on the cross, and we understand what He says, be holy for I am holy. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. If we don't touch the unclean thing, we won't become in bondage with this. Paul says, he says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the control of any of them. So tonight, if you've got some problems in your life, I want you to come out of here and say, I'm not going to be in control, be controlled by these things by the grace of God. See, we can create our own bondage when we don't obey God. Not only can we create our own bondage, we can become content in that bondage. Pretty soon we forget what it was like to not be in bondage. You know, we've heard it said of other countries that have dictators that they don't know any better, that this is the only way of life that they know. There's an interesting story in Nehemiah that the nation of Israel had been in captivity. There was a remnant left behind in Israel as vine dressers and farmers. But the most of them were taken out. You know why? Because they were in bondage to their sin. You know why? They didn't listen to God. They sent up prophets rising up early in the morning and telling them what to do, and they didn't listen. And they went into captivity. They created their own bondage. They didn't have a clear view of God. It was muddled by idolatry. It was muddled by their own thinking. It was muddled by being deaf to God. And so Nehemiah comes back And he starts building the gates and he starts building the walls. And then he starts looking at the spiritual health of the nation. And I want to tell you something, folks. Don't be content in your bondage, because your kids will wind up in the same way. Your kids will wind up in the same way. In Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 26, and it says, "In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab." See, before they came into the promised land, they were told not to marry. They were told not to give their sons to the daughters and not to give their daughters to their sons, because it would be a snare to them and they would learn idolatry and they would do all this stuff. They said, don't do it. But you know something? We tend to do things that we're told not to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. We create our own bondage. And look at what happens in the next verse. "And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people." "And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, that ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons for your selves." Verse 26. "Did not Solomon, king of Israel," what? The wisest man on earth. Probably the most blessed man on earth. You know what? He went into bondage. And if Solomon could do it, we could do it too. "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin." You know what? He set up groves to every god that they had. And here's Nehemiah talking to the Jews, and the kids could not even speak the language. They probably couldn't read the written word of God back then. And folks, that's what's happening today.
Right.
We have elected to become in bondage to the world system. We've been elected to come in bond. We've decided to come in bondage for our own lust. And we haven't taught our kids. And now we are raising a generation that's biblically illiterate. They do not understand God's word. They don't even know the simple things. And folks, that's got to stop. They can't even speak God's language. They can't even do this. That's what happens when we become content in our bondage. We'll raise our family that way. We will go work that way. We will start thinking that way. The problem is we forget who we are. We forget who we are. James writes about that, and we study that too. In James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24 says, "If any be a hear the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." See, you create your own bondage when you decide that you're not going to hearken unto the Lord. When you put your way above God's way. You stay and become content and become satisfied with the bondage when you said, "I'm just going to be a Christian in name only and not in action." Folks, it's time to live up to what God has told us to do. We can create our own bondage and we can become content in our bondage. Come out! Come out and let's be a holy church. Come out and let's be a set apart church. We're supposed to be justified, which means when God sees us, He sees Christ. We're supposed to be sanctified. We need to be set apart. We're supposed to glorify God. What have you done today to glorify God? We're supposed to be witnesses for Him. We're supposed to do all these things for Him. You know, we've just been content doing our own thing. It's time to have revival. It's time to be turned on to God. It's time to be like Paul. He writes, you have an unction from the Holy One. And he says, woe unto me if I don't do what God tells me to do. That's why I told the Corinthian church. Oh, by the way, the Corinthian church was a carnal church. Kind of like the modern church today. So we can learn here that we can create our own bondage. But then we can become content in our bondage. And when we become content in our bondage, we cannot see the condition of our bondage. We've become blind to that. And we miss God's promises. What are the promises? The land that Judah was talking about, that the Philistines were, that was their land. They gave it up. The crops and everything that they were growing, they were giving taxes to the Philistines. That's God's land. That's God's tithe. That's God's provision. And they were giving it up. They were missing promises. And 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what? By these promises, if we hearken unto God, if we don't forget who we are, if we are doers of the word and not hearers only, that we, by these, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. It's time to look like God. It's time to be Christian. Amen. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But see, if you don't look at those promises, if you don't see those things as being gifts of God, if we don't hearken unto what He says, if we don't forget, if we forget who we are, we're just going to miss out. And the people in Judah were missing out. There was missing opportunities, missing promises. There was a missing deliverance. That's human nature. When things get tough, we want to turn around and go the other way. But see, tough trials in our life brings faith. See, this is nothing new to the nation of Israel. Remember what happened? They get up the promised land. They send in the 12 spies. The 12 spies say, yep, the land's exactly as God tells us. Well, duh. God speaks truth. It's going to be exactly that way, isn't it? It says, yep, it's got all that stuff in it. But there's giants in the land. You know, if there had been midgets in the land, they would have said, no problem. We go and take care of them right off the bat. But because there was something bigger than them, they said they couldn't do it because they didn't have faith. And we know that. Only Joshua and Caleb have faith. And so, you know, folks, we get in bondage and we say, oh, it's just a little thing. God doesn't really care about it. Yeah, He does. He cares a lot about it. Where's your faith? If you have the faith, a grain of what? Mustard seed. Go find out how big that is. He said you can move a mountain. Probably a physical mountain. But really, the mountains that we build in our lives. The mountains of bondage that we build in our lives. He said, you could do this. You can come out of this stuff. So they go to the promised land. The spies come back. We know the story. 10 say, eh. 2 say, we'll go in there. And they murmur against Moses. And then they say this. Numbers 14, verse 4. They said, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Boy, that was a great place back then. You know, we had three meals a day. Everything was fine. We had steady work. He had too much work. But you know, that was the, you know, all the time when they were eating manna. We just don't like this manna anymore. And they had, so we want flesh to eat. Oh, let's go back and eat all the garlics and the onions and the leeks in Egypt. That was when, boy, we had it good then. And because they wanted to return to bondage, they missed God's promise by that much. They were on the Jordan River. 40 years later, they come back. Same land, same river, same promise, different generation. And you know what? They didn't listen either. They started out and God gave them a promise. Folks, how many times, because we don't have the faith, we don't want to do something, we want to live our way, that we miss God's promises. We miss His deliverance. He was going to take care of that. He wanted them to take care of that because that would have made them strong in their faith. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 17, says, "But I am poor and needy." Folks, we are all poor and needy people. "Yet the Lord thinketh upon me." I want you to contemplate that for a minute. God's thinking on you tonight. God loves you tonight. God's got this boundless supply of grace for you tonight. God's got this mercy for you tonight. God's got this power for you tonight. You go in a room, you turn on the light switch, you expect light to come on. You have more faith in the light switch than we do in God. We don't expect God to do things that we think because we say He can't do them. He says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my" what? Deliverer. Deliverer from what? Deliverer from bondage. Deliverer from hell. Deliverer from the penalty of sin. My help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. You know something? Do you want God to be here tonight? Live like it. You want God to be in your life tonight? Live like it. You want God to be in your family? Live like it. Don't create your own bondage. Don't be content with what's going on in your life. Well, I'm better than what I was last year. No, be what God wants you to be. Because we get blinded. And He cannot see what? Peter says He cannot see afar off. He can't see the promises. Going back to our story. So, Samson puts the wheat field on fire. The foxes are running around. Philistines get mad. They come to Judah and say, "You bring Samson to us right now. Look at how many men of Judah came for Samson. 3,000. You know why? Because they heard that Samson had the power of God in him. And see, when you're in bondage, what you want to do is you want to get a whole bunch of other people in bondage to come help you. Because we don't want to meet this man of God. We don't want to deal with this. And the other condition is that they put others in bondage. Judges chapter 15, verses 12 through 13, we see the next part. "And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee." That sounds like putting them in bondage, huh? "That we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines," the enemy. "And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." See, Samson had doubt. And folks, when we're in bondage and we're serving some other master, other people will have doubt really where we stand. And there's a lot of people that have doubts in where Christians stand today. There are churches that don't stand for God's truth anymore.
Right.
Folks, we need to stand for God's truth. Verse 13, and they spake unto him, saying, nope, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. Well, great news for that. I'm sure that made Samson really happy. There's more coming. Next couple verses. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. See, are you content in bondage tonight? Are you so content in your bondage that you don't see God's promises? Are you so content in your bondage and living in your sin or doing things that you know God doesn't want you to do that you're missing deliverance? God wants to take you out of that. Are you putting others in bondage at the same time? Because everybody's looking. Everybody's looking. And folks, what we do impacts other people. No one lives in a vacuum. So we cannot see, the third thing, we cannot see the conditions of our bondage. The fourth point is an obvious point. We need God to conquer our bondage. In verses 14 and 15, the last part of our passage says, and when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And then what happened? And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Folks, if you put yourself in the path of God's plan, God will work mightily through you. You're doing what the Spirit says to do. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that were burnt with fire, and his hands loosed from off his hands. And then he used what was just readily available. He didn't have to go out and take taekwondo and all this other stuff. He didn't do that. He said, what can I use for a weapon here? Ah! Here's a new jawbone of a donkey. That'll work! Because you know what? Anything that God puts in our path, if we're doing what God tells us, it's going to work. Even when you don't think it's going to work. And so what happens? And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. They were giants. They had armor. They had swords and shields and things. No weapon that's fashioned against God shall prosper. The issue is, we got to take it up. In 2 Corinthians, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where did it start? It started by not being obedient to Christ, obedient to God, and that causes bondage. And as long as you keep staying there, you'll be content there. And when you're content there, you don't even understand the conditions of your bondage. You need God to pull you out. You need God to pull you out. Now later on in this chapter, you want to read the rest of it tonight, what happens is that Samson works up a thirst. There was no Gatorade back then. And so he tells God, he says, hey, you give me this great deliverance. I'm thirsty. And so God brings water in the jawbone. And he drinks from that. Folks, God knows what we need. God knows your current condition today. God knows if you need delivery, if you need deliverance tonight. I'm sure that we all need some part. Some of you here may need a Savior. God's provided that through His Son, Jesus Christ. So tonight, are you a conqueror or are you conquered? Only you can answer that question. Let's get it right tonight. And let's be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask for this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to live for You. Help us, Lord, if someone's struggling, Lord, with something that's got them bound. Father, release them tonight. Help them to turn to You and hearken unto You and follow You. Father, You say in Your word, the greater this He that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, let's claim that promise tonight. Let's believe it from the bottom of our heart. Father, I pray that You just help us, Lord, to be free. You say, who the Son has set free is free indeed. And Father, I claim that tonight for our church. Lord, set us free. Help us live for You. Help us be Your witnesses and Your servants. And we ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.